Okay, so today, the time that we do have, which isn't so much, is to finish our discussion of the four, Min Basis, Zaken Mamre, Ben Sorer More, Einim Zomim. So Eid Zomim and Zaken Mamre, pretty much we've discussed, even though there's more to talk about. But what we're generally what we're trying to figure out is that is it a coincidence that these arba, which are tzrich and hachraza, again explicitly we know that mesis and eid zomim don't require hasra. What we've seen is that even in mesis v'hasra, there are rishonim and certainly achronim who take the view that there is a kind of hasra kol dehu, at least in the more a practical and technical aspect of lahavkin bein shogeg l'mezid. Again, the Ritva, Maritzkayas, and Azama, and the Balitosis, and we'll soon see many of the Achronim, including the Minchas Chinuch, regarding Mesis. But, one could have said, certainly we needed the Gemara, those are the ones that are the most explicit. And in all other cases, even where it seems that there is no Hazam, that there's no Hasra, one could actually argue that it's not that there's no Hasra, but that it's the particular case is one of Musra Viome, like we said in Zaken Mamre, and so on. But what we're trying to suggest is that maybe there is an extension of these cases, and what they have in common is not just the practical inability to be Masra, or to be Masra in this more formal way, which is what it sounds like in Pirshim Mishnayos, but the idea of the either that there's a built-in Chumra Sa'aveira that substitutes for Hasra. That's the language of the Chinuch in those two cases, but also might work in other cases. Or especially the idea that the Maisa Aveira is the Mechayiv, it's the the shame Gavra, or the the status. And that's what we were trying to suggest about these four, that maybe that's also the reason that they require Achraza. So again, for the Ramban, he tries to establish this common denominator. He's interested more in the deterrent and the pragmatic aspect. Each one of these people is a kind of a road ape. Just got to get rid of them. Got to, explain to people why there's a disproportionality. But I'm trying to use the disproportionality to show, not necessarily, therefore, it's pragmatic. It's, biarta rabbi kerbecha, which is also a good explanation. But maybe that's a reason why in all these cases, we see them not only as a Maisa Aveira, or in some cases not even predominantly as a Maisa Aveira. They fall short, either in terms of the corresponding Onesh, or maybe even objectively, even as a Maisa Aveira, forget the Onesh, because, again, Kasha Zoma below Kasha Asa, the Mesis wasn't successful, the Zaken Mamre, again, I don't like saying that he's sincere, but as a, as an action, at least, it doesn't qualify. But again, the shame, God, what these people represent, in terms of being unacceptable and losing their Kedushas Yisrael in some sense, that's the Davar HaGorem here, and that's kind of where we are in our analysis. So I just want to speak a little bit more about Mesis, and I think we're discussing Ben Sora and Morris, so maybe we'll start with that. And then on Thursday and probably Sunday, if we have to finish up still, I want to go back to just some of the shitos about Hasra per se, if we don't get to a little bit today. In other words, Musul Davar HaChomor, Musul Davar HaKal, Matar Atzma Lemisa, the question of Hasra Sapek, Hasra Smechalkos, does that have to come from the Edim? If so, if there are three Edim, all three Edim, or only one of the Edim, does it define a kat? Does the hasra play a role in defining the kat for batal mikos and batal kula? Makoros that I gave you to look at already, that we just haven't had time to discuss directly. So that's what I want to try to finish up with on Thursday. So today let's start at least with these cases, and maybe we'll try to get in a few others if we can. So let's, I think the last thing we were discussing was Zaken Mamre. Maybe we'll finish Zaken Mamre first, and then we'll go back and discuss the Mesis a little more, because it's just such an interesting issue. So I think in Zaken Mamre, what we established so far is that, I'm sorry, in Ben Sora Mor, and Mesis. In Ben Saramora, what we've established so far is that if you look at the Mishnah, the impression that you get is that there's Hasra for the phase one of Ben Saramora, maybe the Malkus phase, but there is no Hasra for the Misa phase. And what we saw is that both Rashi and the Ramah seem to be neutralizing the first half of what I just said. Namely, they seem to be denying that there really is Hasra'a even on the Malkus part, even though it sounds that way in the Mishnah. Whereas the Rambam, you know, seems to be denying the second point, because Rambam seems to talk about a Hasra not only in Malkus, but even on the Misa part, even though it doesn't appear in the Sugya. So just to take a step back just a little bit to understand this better, as we already discussed, the simple reading of Rashi is that what looks like Hasra is really a function of the Yisroso, and it's part of the Tochacha. And according to the Ramah, he thinks that the Yisro is specifically Malkus-oriented. So he actually thinks that this Hasra is connected to Einenu Shomea Bekol Aviv Uve'imo. Right, it's not a din in Hasra, it's part of the Tanai of his flouting Kibud Abe. That's a simple pshat in Rashi and the Ramah. And Agav, there's an interesting argument between Rashi and the Ramah, because Rashi also seems to be suggesting this can't be Hasra, because A, you need the Adam to be involved in Hasra, and the Ramah says, well, we don't really paskin that way. We'll have to talk about that a little more. And especially, Rashi has an interesting take on the requirement of Hasra, namely that what, Yonatan? Or Hasra Safek, that if you if the Edom don't know immediately, that line in Rashi?
That if the Edom don't know if when you do or don't do the thing that you're going to be hired, then that's what Hasra Safek, and it's not going to be Hasra.
That if the Edom don't know immediately whether or not you're going to violate, then that is a problem in the Hasra. And that's kind of the equivalent, let's say, of Hasra Safek. And the Ramah disputes that very, it's a very important argument. In what way does he dispute it, Yonatan?
That Hasra Safek is only if the Maisa isn't.
If the
Maisa has another step to it?
Correct. Well said. In other words, he says, I understand where Rashi got that from, because it's true that in Hasra Safek, you know, part of the story is that the Edom don't know, you know, immediately whether he's going to violate, but it's still not comparable, because in the case of Hasra, the classic case of Hasra Safek, they don't know whether or not he's a bar onshin or he has fully violated, even after he does what they tell him, you know, that he better not do. That's, they say to him, right, don't do this ma'isa avera, don't do this la, right? Don't leave over the nosa, don't leave over the kadshin, right? And he does it. And even after he does it, we're not sure whether or not, you know, he is deserving of the onish. Because, let's say, it's a lava nita glase, and until he's mevatel, you know, the possibility of being mekayim, the asay, you know, to which it's nitak, you know, it's if he ends up burning the nosar, so he's not in violation in a way that he's a baronish, right? So the case of Hasra Safek is a case where if he does what they tell him not to do, right, if there's still a possibility that he's not mechuyim, that's called Hasra Safek. But because they don't know immediately whether he's going to defy them or not, that's not Hasra Safek. Okay? That's a very good har. That's an important har. What would happen in a case of Hasra Safek where the Hasra was made at the, let's say there was a Tanai, right? Let's say there was a Tanai attached to a certain event, and the Hasra was given not in conjunction with the Avera, but with the Tanai, right? In other words, you need to do two things in order to be chayav. You need to do the Avera, and you also need to complete the Tanai. So is that considered Hasra as Vadai or Hasra Safek? Right, that's an interesting question. Or let's say there's a, again, in other words, is there a difference between a Tnai, for example, and the phase of Bitol Ha'aseh in Lava Nitak La'aseh for purposes of, let's say we're to give the Hasra right before the Bitol Ha'aseh. Right, but whatever you say about that case, would the same thing be true about a Tanai that is going to be Koveya, whether or not you're a Bar Onesh? Or would it matter? I'll give you another scenario. Let's say, I'll give you two other scenarios. Why not, right? Let's say there were two phases in the Aveira. I'd say Gonev, Adam, Umechara, right? The kidnapping case. Right? So, you know, taking him from his environment is one thing, and selling him is another, right? How does Hasra work in that case? On phase one, phase two, right? Or, let's say, you had an Aveira that had a Shiur. Let's say you're walking Dalet Amos, Brishus Harabin. And let's say, when are you supposed to give him the Hasra for that? Before he starts? Or right before he takes his last step? Now, in all these cases, what I'm trying to highlight is, are these Hasra Safek or not? In all these cases, let's look at two extremes, right? You could, in theory, give Hasra and know immediately whether or not there'll be a violation. Right, but if the hasra that you give is mitzura, not to the maisadera, but to some more extraneous condition, but it's still going to trigger the onesh, is that called hasra safek, or is that hasra zvada? Does it have? Is there a rule that the hasra has to be connected to, not just the condition that triggers the definitely triggers the result, but the something which is formally defined as Maisa Aveira? And if so, you know, is a Tnai that seals the deal, or a Bitul Aseh that seals the deal, right? Or if there's a phase one and a phase two, right? There are two issues. One is a requirement for Hasra, and the other is, how do these cases really work? Is there neutral or lighter area, you know, in all of these? But you can have the scenario in two different ways, two opposite things to consider. I'm just raising this because of the discussion between Rashi and Rama. Let's leave its resolution in terms of details a little bit, I guess, for Thursday. But you could have the scenario I just described, in which, you know, whatever is going to trigger the onesh is subject to the hasra, and you'll know tokidei dibur or whatever, whether you need tokidei dibur or not, but you'll know that, you know, based on his response to this particular hasra and his you know, his actions. You could also have it in the opposite case, because what you might say is that the problem of hasra's safek is not that you're giving hasra at the time of the Maisa Aveira, but the Maisa Aveira isn't adequate to trigger the onesh. Let's say you have a, you know, an extraneous Tanai, right, connected to a Maisa Aveira. But let's assume for argument's sake that, you know, that Hagdara is accepted. I mean, there's a Maisa Aveira Lechud, and there's a Tanai Lechud. And the Tanai is totally value neutral, except for its impact on the case. Right. But maybe part of the issue is whether indeed, you know, in a case where you have, let's say, a lava nita klase, so you zero in on the lav part, is the nita klase just an extraneous, you know, metaken, which, you know, extricates you from the onesh? Or is it that the whole aveira, right, isn't complete, you know, unless not only you did the Kumbase lav, but you did also, but you also, you know, foreclosed the possibility of doing the aseh, and it's the combination of the two that's the aveira. Again, I've made the suggestion in the past, and that is that, you know, when we love, you know, nita klaseh, is a debate in the Gemara, you know, whether lo ken olav or ein lo ken olav. What's the relationship between lav anita klaseh and lav she'ein bo maisa? Right? The surface, they look like they're very different, and that you might be mechalik between them. But one way to look at lav anita klaseh is to say, you know what it really is? It's a lav she'ein bo maisa. Okay. Meaning, the maisa alone is not the whole mechayev. It's really only in the context of also being mevatel the mitzvah saseh that we consider this to be a full maisa aveira, or that it's a hyphenated maisa aveira. It has two parts to it, and therefore the lav alone is lacking in terms of the totality of the maisa aveira. That's an interesting question. So, basically, what I'm asking is, when you have two phases of a lav, or two halves of a lav, or a shiur in a lav, like you have to, you know, eat a grogoris, or a kazayas, or walk dalet amos, you know, that seems to be an extended maisa aveira. When you have two phases, like, you know, gode v'mochro, right, you have to weigh, you know, part A and part B. When you have two phases, because you have a lav and a bitul aseh, right, that's, you know, even more of a question how to assess that. And then when you have a lav and a tnai, that's still a fourth case. And you also might be mechalik within these categories. Maybe not every lav and nita klaseh is the same. Not every lav, you know, that has a shiur. We know the shiur work differently. Chatzi shiur applies to certain shiurim and not to other shiurim, right? Some shiurim are shiurim in the maisa, and some are shiurim, you know, just in the onesh. So whether it's two phases, I'm just giving you models here. Whether it's two phases or a shiur, or a connection between an aseh, you know, that is connected to a lav, lav anita klaseh, as we've discussed, right? In a doma, kansipor, on the surface, to Gzela and Beheshev is a Gzela Shagazal, not going to say, you know, it's harder to say that, you know, without, you know, if you do Heshev is a Gzela Shagazal, so there was no Mais Gzela, or you did nothing wrong. It's much easier to say about Kansipor that, you know, until you do everything, you've done nothing. You've done nothing wrong. The Oxorius is in the package. It's hard to say about Gzela that, you know, it isn't Gzela, and it isn't a maisa aveira, you know, until you foreclose the possibility of tashlumin. Right? In one case, it sounds like a ptur malchus, and in the other case, it's a qualitative, just, you know, qualitatively inadequate maisa aveira. What I'm asking is, the same might be true with tnaim. When you have a tnai, at what point does a tnai integrate into the maisa? Again, this is something those who were here last year that we discussed. When did we discuss it last year? Exactly. Onus b'tnai, right? So we pointed out that, you know, and when you have a bitul hatnai, you know, in a davar she'be'erva, can you be mevatel hatnai, or do you, after you set it up, or do you need it that, you know, ki'ilu hiskabalti? We had it again, we mentioned it again this year in the context of Mechila, you know, and so on. So there are some tanoim where the conditions that trigger are just that, they're extraneous completely. And in other cases, right, the conditions kind of, you know, integrate into the Maisa itself. So what we're trying to figure out in all these cases, the Kula and the Chumra is, if you give Hasra in something that really is a full Maisa Aveira, even with there being an outstanding condition for the Onesh, right? Is that enough of a Hasra, or is that still called Hasra's Safek? formally, you've attached the Hasra fully to the Ma'isa Aveira, although it's inadequate, you know, to guarantee onesh. That's one extreme. Right? The other extreme is that you give the Hasra at phase two of a two-part process, but you do so, and certainly will know immediately, right, even Tokhen de Dibor, you know, of the Hasra, whether or not there's going to be an Onesh. But let's say, for the moment, that that phase two, Likula Alma, isn't a Maisa Veira, it's a neutral component, right, or some other component, but not one which is called the Maisa Veira, which is going to seal your fate, but it isn't a Maisa Veira. So these are two extreme cases. One, you have Hasra, which is Mitzura to the Maisa Veira, although it's inadequate for the Onesh. And the other is you have adequate for the Onesh, but the Hasra is not Mitzura for the Maisa Veira. And all these cases that I'm talking about, you know, there could be also a struggle how to define them. So the more that we look at Hasra, you know, in pragmatic terms, namely, you know, we have to know that he didn't forget, that he knows what's going on, that he's really aware, you know, he's fully mazed, you know, he has to be makal, you know, matirat malamisa or kabbalah, so he really has to know, you know, what the deal is. The more we take, you know, in any of these, the more pragmatic view of Hasra, it should always depend, lamaisa, you know, what's going to trigger the onesh, lekula, and lechomra. Now, even if you are mitzarif the Hasra to a total, you know, self-sustaining ma'isa aveira, but there's still, you know, way to go for the onesh, he could still forget, you know, maybe there's less merit, whatever, right? And in the other direction, you know, all that's left is for us to know about this extraneous tanai, but he knows the consequences, he does this, you know, he's getting malchus or he's getting misa. But if we think that Hasra is not just about, you know, those perspective, it's more about being mitzaref the Hasra to the Maisa Veira as a din of the Chumra Soaveira, right? And that's what it's about. So then you might have cases where, you know, you're Vadai knowing what you're doing and triggering, but it's not mitzaref to the Maisa Veira. Or the other way, where you're Vadai not triggering yet, there's a way to go in that, but you still did the Maisa Veira, right? Behasra. So those are really, this whole discussion of Rashi and the Rama, that the Edom read to know immediately the consequences. Is that a shear in the Mered or you know, or Shema Shachach, etc.? Or is it Dafka in a case where you did the Maisa that he warned you, you know, not to do, and still it's not clear that you're either Chayiv, Ro'ili is Chayiv, or certainly you're not a Baronesh, they depend on these issues. So we'll document that a little bit more. But that's part of the discussion of Rashi and the Rama regarding Ben Soramor. Either way, the Pashtos, as we said, it sounds like the Rama requires Hasra for both. It sounds like the Mishnah requires Hasra for Malkus. And it sounds like, according to Rashi and the Rama, you really don't require Hasra at all. Oh. So, the interesting thing is that the Minchas Chinuch, in the Mitzvah Resh Mem Ches, I think Sivkot and Yud Aleph, says that for the Rambam, there is an absolute requirement of Hasra, Bein B'Malkus, Bein B'Misa, and it's the typical Hasra of Tokhen de Dibor, and Kabbalah Hasra, and Matir Atzma L'Misa, or L'Malkus, etc. That's his reading. He read that according to Rashi, you don't need Hasra at all, like we did. And then he says, I don't understand, why is it any different than Shar Misos Bezdin? Right? The Gemara doesn't say, you know, that Ben Soror Morev is not subject to Hasra. We know the Tosefta and the Gemara says it about Basis. The Gemara in Ksuva says it about Edom Zomimim, says it in Chaschinoch. But why does Rashi think that this should be any different than any other status of Misos Bezdin? But of course, in light of our analysis, you know, the fact that this is one of the tzrichin hachraza is going to be very important. So that either means, again, nidon al shem sofo, pragmatically, a kind of a biarta ram to come back. We got to get, for the same reason that we kill him, though it's disproportionate, you know, and we do that, you know, because we consider him to be, you know, a ticking, you know, Rodev time bomb. So the niceties of Hasra are also dropped in that more pragmatic presentation. He's a Rodev. He's Ubiarta Rabbi Kermecha. If it's Midin, that's along the lines kind of with the Ramban. If it's Midin that the Arba Tzrich and Achraza are Shir and the Chumras Rishus Agabra, right? So that also might work, but especially if we take the view that it's a din of the Shem Gabra, meaning when we say that Ben Sorer Moreh is needed al Shem Sofo, what we mean is he's already a Ben Sorer Moreh, right? The Avera, as a Maisa Avera, doesn't justify this proportion of Onish, but he's like a little, you know, he's a little monster walking around. It's easy to talk about him, especially if he's Lahoya Nivra, but... Yeah, everybody knows that you know, a lot of the Achronim ask the question, you know, when they talk in, you know, Parshanud about Yishmael, you know, Basher Husham. So this is like the big famous question, right? Like, you know, Yishmael, you know, was going to end up being quite a troublesome force in the world, right? Yet, you know, that's what Chazal say, Basher Husham. Right now, he didn't deserve, you know, what was happening to him. Therefore, he was Nitzal. So, a lot of the Achronim ask this question. They say, "Well, what's the difference between that and Ben Sora Moreh, who Nidon al Shem Sofa?" Say Nidon al Shem Sofa. And different answers are given. One of the answers, the main answer, then they can formulate it in different ways, is that Yishmael at the time, you know, was you know, he wasn't a problematic figure, right? He was a Ben Avraham Avinu, and you know he. You know, if you could read his, you know, his future, his crystal ball, so, you know, a lot of trouble, you know, was coming, you know, the way of the world, you know. But, you know, the roots of that, you know, were not sufficiently strong. His status right now is fine. The problem with Ben Sora Moreh is not just that we, you know, can look to the future, but that he's already doing things, you know, would show that his, you know, which is mitzaref between his future and his present. Now, again, if all you cared about was, you know, Nidon al Shem Sofo in the most pragmatic way, then you have to give a different answer to that question. But if Nidon al Shem Sofo also requires that he have a Shem Ben Sora Moreh, and especially if it's not an also, it's a primarily, I mean, that's really what we mean, Nidon al Shem Sofo. We don't mean we're killing him now, you know, because of the future. What we mean is, already, he's a little... You know, not just a little mazik. That's like a term of endearment. You know, but you know, he's a walking disaster. You know, that could also be a term of endearment. But he's, you know, he's what's that?
My mom tells that to me all the time.
Yeah, right. Mine just tell it to me too. Right, and you know, we wear that, you know, as a badge of courage, right, and honor. So. Right, but meaning a you know a such a destructive shame Russia, you know, a little mechutzah, you know, that your mother never said. So, there's nothing endearing about that. So the Nidon al Shem Sofo is like he's already a Russia, and somebody who, you know, as a Risha Sagavra has to be treated in a certain way. And as such, the din of Hasra is not going to be applicable. So to answer the Minchas Chinuch question, I think this is what we need to say. There's an interesting tshuva of the Radbaz. I don't know if I get. Did I give you the tshuva of the Radbaz or not?
Yeah.
I don't. Did I? Aleph Tafed. I did. Okay, good. So you saw it. So, David, what does he talk about? He talks about Rashi, and he makes an interesting comparison, right? He discusses whether Rashi really believes that there's Hasra or not. Instead of saying, you know, what Pashtus of Rashi and how certainly the Rama read Rashi, Avinim Chaschinuch read Rashi, which is that there's no Asra at all. The Asra in the Mishnah is a special local din, right, in the Tanai, in the conditions of Ben Sorer Umoreth, right? He compares it to what? You see it?
I don't think I'm the best person to relate.
Are you being
Modest
or?
I'm being honest.
Okay. Well, honesty is also good. Chaim, are you the best person? You don't have to say that you're the best person. You could be modest, but did you see the Radvaz or not? Oh, okay. That's an honest answer. Shua?
Yeah, so the Radvaz actually compares it to two things. And the question he was asked about was a case of Shua, where the Hasra is given like way before the woman is over at the Shua, and he also compares it to the Sota.
And he compares it to?
The Sota.
Oh, good.
Where he seems to view the Kinoi as a type of Hasra.
Which is also fascinating.
Right, which is a big assumption. And then he thinks that just as the Kinoi is separated in time from the Stira, nevertheless, the Hasra of the Kinoi still suffices for that Stira.
Because that's the nature of this particular process, which is also interesting, again. That's to say that the kinui needs to be mitzuraf, or the asra, in that case, needs to be mitzuraf. The avera, the formal way, as we normally think asra does, is belied by the fact that this is the process as the Torah defines it, right? So you see that there is, and this is very relevant to what we were just discussing a couple of minutes ago, right, about Toftei Dibur and so on, and the formality of asra being integrated into the avera. Go ahead. So, kinui is a kind of hasra, but a different kind of hasra, and that would be something similar to Rashi's view of.
That's very wrong.
Yeah. So, what do you make of that?
I mean, so definitely an assumption about sota, as I said before.
About what?
About sota.
For sure.
And then also just the jump from sota to Netzorimor is also not so clear.
Yeah. So this doesn't work well if we're looking for a typical hasra. But he basically doesn't think it's also a special Gzeres HaKasuv only connected to V'Yisro, so, or like the Rama, and then Shomea B'Avivimo. It's a form of Hasra itself. But would really work nicely, for example, he does agree that according to Rashi, unlike, let's say, Pashtus of the Rambam, right, there's no din of Tokhnei Dib, clearly. There's no din of Kabbalas Hasra. Right? All these things you don't require. It's more... What is it? Lahapkin den shogi lemezid? Is that all it is? And that's all you require? I would say more than that. And that is that sota and overa saladas and ben sorer, you require the hasra as a din in? Shua?
Perhaps
Or the merit, at least, aspect. Again, those of you here last year when we talked about Kinui and Stira a couple of times, right? And the Havamin of the Gemara, in particular in Sota, that maybe Derech Evarim. We had a discussion. We talked about Rabbeinu Tam again. Whoever happened to be here last year, right? Rabbeinu Tam says that Bias Akum is Kibias Behema, yet the Gemara discusses Mekanin, in a case of Akum. How could that be? So we talked about the whole Mishnah Lamelech discussion, right? And then also the Beis Halevi, and then also Mechayim, about Kinui Stira being its own Mechayim. What we're trying to get across was that Kinui basically raises the stakes, right? When there's Kinui, it redefines how we look at merit. We quoted the Marik last year, right? Marik's Chiddush in reading the Pasuk of Mala Bo Goal, that Omer Mutter doesn't apply in the case of Eish HaSish, to highlight this exact point, which is that Kinui, in the context of Kinui Astira, is a way of defining the mered, or the begida, if you want to call it that way, the betrayal in a marriage, and that's the Mechayim. And the Radvaz equating that with Hasra'a in Kinui, and then associating that with Rashi's view in Ben Sorer Moreh, becomes very fascinating, because that's exactly what is a Ben Sorer Umoreh. That's the whole point. He where does the Rambam deal with the dinim of ben tzora mora, with all the dinim of kibbutz, but ben tzora mora particularly in what? What? Nichus Mamrim. He's a ben sorera mora, right? He's a rebellious child. So the idea that the merit or the chumrah sa'aveira of being morei is you might say still that's just a din in the Hagdara, you know, of kinu yustira or and ben sorera mora. What's fascinating about the Radvaz is that he's saying, well, that is an aspect of all hasra played out, you know, in a specialized fashion in Ishus, you know, Verasala Das and Sota and Kiryastira, right? And in Ben Sora Mora. So it actually is Mechudash, but it reinforces some of the ideas that we've been discussing. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Finally, I wanted you to look at Reb Chaim. Okay, so why did I want you to look at Reb Chaim, Shmuley? Did you get a chance to look at it?
I saw it.
It's a tough one to read, Kedarko. Reb Chaim's saying some very, you know, subtle things there, but you can get the basic thrust of it.
So he's going back and forth to whether or not Malkus and Lemisa is Maisa there or the Shem and Sermon.
Excellent. Very good. What is he really interested in? What application?
Why we recheck the Benzor Mora before Misa, but not before.
Before the Gemardin of Misa? The way the Rambam formulates it sounds like we check the godless, you know, it's to make sure that he isn't a godal already, of the Benzor Mora before the implementation of the Misa. But it doesn't sound like we do that before the Malkus. And the question is, like, Mimanushach. You know, maybe you should never do it, because what we really should care about is not what is the status of the Gemar Din, but what is the status when, Shmuley?
At the Maisa Veira.
When he does the Maisa Veira, so why do we care about the status of the Gemar Din? So this is the Din that Reb Chaim discusses called, what's it called?
Ishtani
Gavra, Ishtani Dina, or Ishtani Dina, Ishtani Katala. So basically, the thrust of what Reb Chaim is trying to say is that maybe this halacha of Ishtani Dina, Ishtani Katala only applies when we don't when we focus on the Maisa Aveira. So then the critical moment is when he did the Aveira, right? But when we're interested in the Shame Gavra, in a status, and the reason that, you know, these penalties accrue is because of a status, so then the Shas Gmardin is important as well. Then we'll say Ishtani Dina, Ishtani Katala. That works, by the way, very nicely with our whole framework. Right? We're talking about Eid Zomim, right? As a great example of this. Right? So that's the whole point of, you know, of Rava versus Abaya, right? Eid Zomim, right, Mikano Laba Hu Nifsal, because Eid Zomim Chidishu, and that's why the Rav, you know, was interpreting it, and that's how, you know, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was interpreting Parakaf Halacha Dalid, meaning that, you know, are you focusing on the Shem Eid Zomim? That's when the Gemar Din takes place, and he's, you know, found by the court to be an Eid Zomim. If you're really interested because you're really convinced that there was a Maisa Aveira, right, so then, of course, it's the moment when he testified in court, and he gloined Nilsa L'mafreya that he's Sheker, right? So, in general, in the world, in the phenomenology, let's say, of, you know, of Averos, you know, and Mitzvos, the question of, you know, when the Maisa is Koveya, and when there's a process or a shame or a status, is always an important and interesting issue. But what we've tried to demonstrate in Hasra is that this could be Koveya with regard to Hasra, especially that's really what the Rambam meant when he said in Parakaf Halacha Daled that the reason that Hazama doesn't have Asra is because the Maisa isn't the Mechayev. Good. So in light of that, what he's saying is, you know, whether you're a Gadol or a Katan, if you're focusing on the Maisa Aveira, should depend on, you know, when you did the Aveira. But if you're focusing on the Mamad, on the status of the Gabra, on the Shame, maybe that depends, again, on the Mardin. So Reb Chaim originally thought that there would be a good case to be made for the fact that maybe the Mechayev of Malkus is, you know, Zolel v'Sovei, the fact that he's doing these actions. Now, of course, he understands that it's in a context, obviously. Nothing wrong with, you know, a little bit of, you know, overeating, you know. What do they call it in Yiddish?
Fressing.
What?
Fressing.
Yeah. So,
Fressing, get the food
get
fresh.
In Yiddish.
What?
He just expanded his word to Gittin in Yiddish now.
Imagine learning Gittin in Yiddish. You know, Yafar Geget, the Far Geget, or something like that. I don't know. So,
there was
can you like verbize that? Maybe.
There was Fressing.
In Yiddish, only in Yiddish.
Yeah.
So, the point is that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So the context is still important even there. But Reb Chaim says, well, given the Rekha, given the context, the point, the Malkus part is a Maisa Aveira, and it's subject to Malkus. It's only when you get to the Misa part that it's the shame Ben Sora Mora. And therefore, maybe the Hagdara of Katan and Gadol and all those things, you know, are Dinim in phase two, and not Dinim in phase one. Of course, then he, you know, because Reb Chaim was very careful, even as he was incredibly subtle. So he says, of course, you know, we also understand that, you know, the Malkus, you know, has to be something, you know, which is Mitsura to the possibility of a Misa, meaning Misha ain't a Roy la Misa, ain't a Roy la Malkus. It's not like there are two completely different phases that have nothing to do with each other. But at least with regard to the formal shame, you know, of these dinim, they'll depend on phase two, not on phase one. And then he goes at some point and he, you know, kind of rejects this. And then he finally, in the end, comes out with, you know, a perspective which is somewhere kind of subtly in between, that, you know, there are certain dinim of Malkus and certain dinim of Misa, and they're both dinim of Shemos, etc. The details, I don't want to work on right now, but what I do want to say is that that first suggestion, which he kind of retracts, but Lumaskana, it's not so clear that he completely retracts. Moreover, even when he says it, you know, he's acknowledging the subtle interconnection, and even when he rejects it, he's not exactly equating the Malkus phase and the Misa phase. So I just always thought that when you look at the Mishnah, you know, this could be a beautiful expression of this. Meaning, the Mishnah says that you need Hasra for the Malkus, and it says nothing about Hasra for the Misa. So even though the Rambam says you need Hasra for both, and even though Rashi and the Ramah seem to be saying you need Hasra for neither, although the Radvaz was saying you need a kind of, or some aspects of Hasra, that was the Radvaz's reading of Rashi, it's just a perfect solution to say maybe phase one is about the Maisa Aveira, given the context of being Zolel the Sovei, the pressing, right? Whereas phase two is all about the shame Ben Sora Mora. So that's why in the Mishnah you have Hasra in phase one and you don't have Hasra in phase two. Okay, so that I think works nicely with all this as well. Now let's go back to Mesis and expand that just a little bit as well. So, several things. Let's start with Eich Nadiach for a moment. So, the third pshat of the Ramah, if you remember, the Ramah had three pshatim in, you know, Eich Nadiach. The third pshat Ramah? Yeah. So, how did the pshatim go? The first one was that there's a substitution between Eich Nadiach and the presence of Edim, right? The second one is that the Eich Nadiach is a potential for tshuva.
But choice.
What's that?
But it won't be sincere tshuva if he's in the presence of two.
Yeah, but and therefore, therefore it doesn't work with the two. I mean, it's a potential for tshuva, but we don't believe in it. We're only going to apply it, and that's a chiddush that Mesis has that, despite lo tachmo v'lo tachaseh. But the potential for real tshuva, we don't deny him. Others would say we would, right? But we're only not going to deny it to him if we're convinced that it's sincere tshuva, correct? And then the third one was that Eich Naniach is what? A kind of a shiur in the hasasa itself. So is that about, I'm just not sure whether it's about initiative, right? Or it's the resistance, you know, which is magdir, the hasasa, you know, in this case. Again, if you initiate, so then, you know, your commitment, you know, to this act of incitement or enticement is clear because you've initiated it. If you know, so is it a din in the initiation, or is it a din in the level of commitment? But I think that there might be a third possibility, or third thing to think about as well, and that is relating to hachmana. As we noted, one of the unique elements of nesis is expressed in the din of hachmana and trad. But if you look carefully at the sugya in some of Zayin and Aleph. Right, it's the case of hachmana is still only in cases where we already know him to be, or he already started the process of being a nesis. Right. Now you might say, well, that's just lemaisa. That's true because it becomes the two people since they are edim, so you just don't need hachmana in that case. If he came to one person, you don't have the, you know, the goods on him. So, in that situation, there's a possibility of hachmana, and then hachmana applies to nesis. But I'm wondering, is that really true? In other words, can you run a sting operation or an entrapment operation? Let's say you have reason to think that this guy is a nesis. You know, is there a kind of a biarta ra mikirbecha that you can, you know, preemptively initiate, you know, entrapment? Like this is a meisim shebechol yom, you know, with you know, law enforcement. All right, I get these calls from all the time whether, you know, whether they're allowed to do that. No, but this is like, you know, very important legal and moral issue. Like, you have somebody there, and you know, for the sake of deterrence, you really think he's a bad guy, he's going to initiate something, but he hasn't done anything yet. Can you preemptively, you know, entrap him? Or can you only respond, you know, to his initially, let's say, inadequate, you know, success, you know, but he's already kind of established himself as a shame mesis. You know, so then you can be machmin. You can follow up, or you can, you know, respond to his asasa, you know, once he's already a mesis. So I think this also may have something to do with the Ramaz third you know, perspective. You know, the Eich Naniach is part of the hachmana, and maybe the hachmana is something which is only a responsive thing, not a an initiating one. Either way, lahalacha, I think this is an interesting question that some of the achronim discussed, whether hachmana is only permissible in the context in which it appears in the sugya, or you know, it's a kind of a biyarta haram mikirbecha, a more pragmatic, you know, deterrent-oriented kind of a thing. There's also another element to consider, and that is the view of the Me'iri. Did anybody see the Me'iri al Atar in Samach Zayin? The Me'iri, like the Rama, but in a very different way. Isaac, you saw it? About what? The Musas, you mean? No, we'll get to that in a second. But also connected to that, like the Rama, the Me'iri suggests that Eich Naniach is only going to apply under certain conditions, right? The Rama, it's, you know, according to the first Deya, it's the presence of two Eidim, or Eich Naniach. Fine, we discussed that already. For the Me'iri, it depends on whether or not he was successful in the Hasasa. In other words, a mesis is going to be chayiv even without heich naniach if he succeeds in corrupting. That isn't what you meant, right? You're talking about more about the musas in terms of hasra, which we'll get to in a second. Only if the mesis was if the mesis was successful, says the Meiri on Sama Zayinim and Aleph, then you don't need heich naniach. If he's unsuccessful, then he's only chayiv in eich naniach. So that is, of course, a very interesting idea. What are we to take from there, Robbie? What do we take away from the Meiri?
Could be a sure whether he's actually considered. The definition if he actually.
I mean, it's a strange thing because we'll get to this in just a second. I mean, part of the let me highlight it this way. Part of what the Ramban was explaining that why this is one of the hachrazas is because that he didn't succeed. You know, it's like kasher zama below kasher asa. Kasher zama below kasher asa in a way is worse because if he succeeds, you're not even going to apply the din. But what the Ramban says, listen, he didn't succeed. He's a bad guy, but he didn't trip him up. So in a way, the Ramban brings success, effectiveness, into the equation, but in a very dialectical way. Is the Ramban going to tell you that if he succeeded, then you know, then that he wouldn't need hacharaza? Or does he mean that since he doesn't need to succeed, whether he succeeds or not, it's the same basis, right? What is? How do you understand basis, really? Right? Is it the mikshal, the takala? Is this like a fancy lifneiv or lositein mikshal, but much more chamor? So in Sefer Mitzvah Rav Sajagon, he has a piece in which he discusses. I'll give you the number in a minute. You know that maybe the whole idea of basis is like an intense lifneiv, but lifneiv typically requires that you be effective. That's that you that there be a takala. What is the relationship between, you know, the model of lifneiver lisite nichshal, and this is like a super lifneiver, just so you don't need to succeed, you know? Is it more prati and with neighbors more klali? Or is hasasa nothing to do with the musas? The musas is just a hekatimtsi. Is the musas the mechayev even though you didn't succeed, as I'm asking? Or is the musas is a hekatimtsi to see what kind of an avarian, what kind of a committed mesis you are? Right? We'll get back to this point in just a second. To what extent is mesis a subcategory of avodah zarah? We know mesis only applies to avodah zarah, right? Except for the nachash hakadmoni, who we'll get back to. And they have to discuss if that's I kind of molitza the alma in the Gemara in Chavtesim and Aleph in Sanhedrin, or we take it somewhat seriously. And if so, how can there be a mesis, you know, which the first mesis was without avodah zarah, but mesis normally is only in avodah zarah? But is mesis a din in avodah zarah? Or is it just that avodah zarah is the most chomor kind of an onesh, or the most chomor kind of an avera, and therefore being mesis for that is a din of mesis? There's a whole discussion in the Minchas Chinuch whether, you know, to what extent, and this may be, you know, true independently, but it's an interesting issue. Like, what level of avodah zarah or violation of avodah zarah, right, is necessary in the context of mesis? Like, let's say you wanted him to. Do you have to, like, be mesis him to do avodah zarah in a way that he would be chayiv mishum avodah zarah? Let's say, what about the dalid avodos? Or what about, is it only. In other words, could there be cases where you're trying to convince him to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, you know, in a way which a, would make you chayiv, but let's say it isn't kederech, that avodah zarah. It's not poer, you know, or zorek lemarkalis, so, you know, poer lepoor. It's, you know, the dalet avodos, pnin, right? Is it conceivable that, you know, if he would listen to you, he'd be over avodah zarah, but that's not called mesis? Because they're not really recruiting, you know, for that other avodah zarah in its way. Is that possible? Right? Or the Michal Chinuch assumes not. Michal Chinuch assumes the Davar Pashut that you for sure have to mesis him in a way that at least he would violate avodah zarah. And if you do, then whatever way, whether it's avodas pnim or kedarka, then, you know, whatever works. I personally am not so convinced of that. He does point out that the evidence, you know, in the sugya mesis doesn't prove the dalid avodas pnim. What he does talk about, which is an interesting question, is Kabbalas Elokus. Let's say you just, you know, are Mekabelas Elokus. That is a violation in avodah zarah. Is that enough in mesis, if that's all he wants you to do? Right? So the Chassidus says, I guess, you know, if the criterion is, you know, avodah zarah. But it's an interesting question. Right? The Min Chassidus himself asks the following question. He says, on the one hand, mesis seems to be worse than avodah zarah. It seems to be more chomer than avodah zarah. Right? Because you're machmin, and, you know, lo sachmol, and lo sechase, you have all these things. He says, on the other hand, isn't it strange that, you know, that you don't require hasra tochide dibur? I'm sorry, it's the other way. Isn't it strange that you do require hasra for mesis? And he's assuming that even if, you know, it would be shalo betochide dibur, you would be, you know, perhaps patur, even though when it comes to avodah zarah, there's no din in tokede dibur? That's Michaskina's question. So, in other words, how can there be a din, let's say, of hecha naniach, you're warning the guy, you're trying to be, you know, poresh, etc. How could that fit in with the fact that mesis is more chomer than avodah zarah? When it comes to avodah zarah, the rule is that even if he's chozer, megadef and avodah zarah, that those are the two cases that the Gemara says in Bava Basra, there's no chazara, tokedei dibur. That's Michaskina's question. So, all I'm trying to show is that the mesis, that the tendency of the Michaskina, understandably, either way, is to see mesis, you know, simply as enticement for avodah zarah. Right? And that's why he's trying to figure out, oh, you know, the details, l'chula and l'chumra, you know, the avodos, the kabbalah selovka, you know, is it more chomor, is it more kal? You know, why do you have to say hech naniach here, and there you can't even be chozer, betoken de dibur, if you want to. Here, you were mesis the guy, and then if, you know, you have to say, he has to say hech naniach, and then you get to say, oh yeah, you're right, I'm not doing it. You convinced me. Right? But, the question really is that really what's going on in mesis? You know, it's, while we admit that mesis is connected to avodah zarah, is it really an iser avodah zarah in the typical avodas avodah zarah? It's enticement to doing a maisa avodah zarah? Or is it a little bit different? What role is, like, the equivalent of, you know, lifnei iver, or, you know, takala, you know, tripping up the other guy, play? And to what extent is the hasasa, forgetting about the musas just as hechatimsa, but the hasasa itself is the koveya, not the fact that he, you know, almost, you know, tripped this guy up. So I think that this is the big issue in mesis. To what extent the mechayev of mesis is a din bifnei atzmo, may be equivalent to a avodah zarah, but as a kind of act of merit, per se, the ultimate merit is mesis. And maybe that's why it's dafka avodah zarah, because Avodah Zarah is the most chamor aveira and the ultimate slap in the face to the Ribono Shel Olam. But then it isn't a din in takala le'avodah zarah, or, you know, or lifnei iver, an intensive lifnei iver la'avodah zarah. That's not the point. It's mesis, right, as an act of mered against, you know, the Ribono Shel Olam per se, maybe parallel to avodah zarah, and therefore maybe requiring, you know, some aspects of that, but as a din b'fnei atzma. Oh, so getting back to, in light of that question and these issues, so the Meiri's ha'ara, that whether you say heich naniach, whether you say heich naniach, depends on whether you were successful or not, and also in light of the Ramban's comment in his Perush al HaTorah, and in light of these issues, like, you know, are we measuring everything based on what would happen if the Musas indeed was tripped up, what level of Avodah Zarah he would be involved in, and so on and so forth. What you might say with the Chiddush of the Meiri is that, what? There's Mesis, and there's also Hatzlacha in Mesis? So the more you look at Mesis as, he almost, caused this Takala. So if he did cause the Takala, that's a bigger Mesis, right? So when one needs Heich Naniach, the other doesn't. Fine. And that's one way to look at the whole problem. But what I'd like to suggest is that even if we take the view that Mesis is independent, and it's not about the, you know, degree to which the Musas is in fact Lemaisa Nitkal in Avodah Zarah, there's a Mechayev of Mesis. We still might say that there are two ways to trigger, according to the Meiri, the shame Mesis. One is through Heich Naniach, because that's a shiur, like the Rama said, in the Mered, right? In the initiation, in the Mered, meaning, you know, he's committed to this act. It's not like a flyby, you know, hasasa. Yeah, we'll give it a shot. He is, you know, masur. He's really a devoted and dedicated. You know, so even when you say to him, Heich Naniach, right, he says, no, I want it. The other way to have a shame Mesis is maybe when you're successful. Even if the act doesn't reflect the same level of commitment, maybe the effectiveness underscores, that makes it a serious hasasa. It's a serious hasasa, not because of your level of commitment, but because it worked. Not because the Mechayev of Mesis is the Avodah Zarah, right? And that's the prime case. But because that is still a shiur in the Hagdara of Mesis itself. So having said that, let's go back to the Minchas Chinuch's question, which is, I don't understand, is Mesis worse than Avodah Zarah or better than Avodah Zarah? The answer is, it's just different. The Minchas Chinuch L'shitaso, his answer to the question, by the way, is no, Heich Naniach. Heich Naniach is the Hasra Kol Dehu. Right? Now, he assumes that even Rashi, it doesn't sound that way at all like Rashi, than our Rashi, and even the Rambam, so wait, Noach told me, right? That does the Rambam hold like Tosis, that Heich Naniach is a form of Hasra? I mentioned that you might read that in the Rambam, but I didn't think that it was very compelling. Noach, what?
I didn't talk about that.
No? Which one did you tell me? No, that's something else. I thought you told me the Mayim Chayim?
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
You did tell me.
Yes.
Yeah. In the Yalkut in the back of the Rambam, in the Franco Rambam, he quotes the Mayim... What?
It is the Pre-Chadash.
It is the Pre-Chadash, yeah. It is the Mayim Chayim, which I thought, and apparently is, the Pre-Chadash. Says that, yeah, the Rambam holds like Tosis, and that's what he means. You know, that there's Hasra even for Mesis, just the Hasra is accomplished by Heich Naniach. But the Pashtos, Rashi and the Rambam, right, do not think that Heich Naniach has anything to do with Mesis. So what is Heich Naniach? As we said, it's a shiur, right, in the Hasasa itself. The Minchas Chinuch gets out of the problem by saying, oh, Heich Naniach, In Achanami, Mesis is worse. The Hechna Niach isn't an opportunity to be Chozer. It's the Hasra. Avodah Zarah requires a lesser Hasra, and Mesis, a fuller Hasra, and Mesis requires a lesser Hasra. Fine. But if we don't hold that way for many Rishonim, for the Rambam and for Rashi, we shouldn't really think that that's true. So the answer is, no, Hechna Niach is a Shiur in Mesis. But, in general, what's more chamor, Avodah Zarah or Mesis? Yeah, but the apples and oranges, right? It's a different idea of merit. Mashal Ma Dover Domeh, talked about this in the past also. There's a debate among the Rishonim already, the Ritva and Psachim against the Rambam, and then the Radvaz is a famous tshuva about this. The Din of Yaharik Valyabar, right? So there are Gimel Averos, Farazar Shvikastamim Gilei Arayos. Most people follow the view of the Rambam, which is that Avodah Zarah means Avodah Zarah. In other words, it has to be a formal Avodah Zarah. So, for example, Islam, which is not our religion, make that very clear, is according to the halacha, is not an Avodah Zarah, right? Because their perspective on the deity, on the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not in any way at odds with our view of Yichud Hashem, of divine unity, as opposed to Christianity, right, which believes in the Trinity, and therefore, at least for Jews, question whether this is true for non-Jews, but for Jews, obviously Christianity, everybody agrees, is an Avodah Zarah. It's theologically totally unacceptable. So, for that reason, many took the view that Geharig Valyabar of Avodah Zarah, does not apply to Islam. However, the Ritva in Psachim in Sugya Makom Misrapin, Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, the other Sugya, the Chavav Sugya in Psachim, and the Radvaz in the Tshuva, think it's not correct. They think if this challenge is issued, even regarding Islam, that there triggers Yehari Valyavor. It's not theologically Avodah Zarah. The answer is, what do we mean by Avodah Zarah? Especially in Aragel Yavar, it's derived from Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. So there are two types of Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah, theological Avodah Zarah, technical Avodah Zarah, formal Avodah Zarah, where the Maisa is a Maisa Avodah Zarah. There's also situations where Avodah Zarah is just like the ultimate expression of merit, right? Abandoning the religion, abandoning the Ribbono Shel Olam. Are you abandoning the Ribbono Shel Olam if you opt even under pressure for another religion? Sure. Right? So what I'm saying is that in Mesis, I don't know if anybody ever said that Mesis, to a non-theologically, it's an interesting question. I'm not aware of the discussion. I wouldn't be shocked. It definitely belongs under the rubric of what we are talking about. So for that reason, what I'm saying is the Hasasa isn't just a hechatimtzi of the Takala, and your chayv, even though it didn't work, it's a din. It's the shame nasis and the maisa hasasa as an act of mered that is the mechayiv. So it's more kalmor and it's more kal, both. Like in Avodah Zarah, this is what bothered the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch was saying, if you say Eich Naniach, it's Hasra, so fine, it all works out very well and good. But otherwise, what's going on? Avodah Zarah, you can't be Chozer Tokedei Dibur. How can it be Chozer from Nasis if it's worse? So number one, if you hold like the Minchas Chinuch, if you hold like the Ramah, that Eich Naniach is a Shir in the Hasasa, and of course that's part of the Hagdara of Nasis, it has nothing to do with the Kula and the Chumra of Nasis. That's number one. But even if you were to look at it a little bit, even if you were to take the view in the Ramah that it's an opportunity to be Chozer B'tshuva, what you might say, it's not that Mesis is an act of mered, and in that sense, it might even be a kind of an Avodah Zarah. But it's not a Maisa Avodah Zarah, it's not a Maisa Avoda of Avodah Zarah. The reason that there's no Chazara, even Tokedei Dibur, is because of the definitiveness of the act of Avodah Zarah, and it's Chomer, right? Nasis, we might say, is is an act of incitement. Maybe it can be chozer on incitement. In the other degree, right, if you don't even care about shogeg and mezid, let's say I say omer mutter and mesis. If you say omer mutter and avodah zara, right, that might be ones or shogeg. But if you say omer mutter and mesis, I'm not sure if that's shogeg. In the same way that we were talking about umal abo mal. So there are kulas and chumras. That's just basically different. So if this is the case, you might even just take it one step further and say, well, it's really the shame mesis, which is kodeya. And maybe the shame mesis, as opposed to the maisa vodazara, is not subject to that din that, you know, begadif and vodazara are not nitan lechazara. It's a status. And part of defining that status is the possibility of stepping back from it, as opposed to being, you know, dye in the wool, committed to it. Okay, we're going to stop here. I may make another minute discussion about mesis, but mostly we want to talk just about a few other cases, and then we want to talk about these other categories of hasra themselves, the Edim, the Kabbalah, the Hitra Atzma Lemisa, the Hasra Safek on Thursday. So make Thursday 10:30. Okay?
Okay.